The message for this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. Luke 12, 35 through 48. And this is what it says. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant, who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands and abides forever. May he bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. And the title of the message is, why should I get ready for the coming of Christ? We have just come out of the Easter season, and during the Easter season, we looked at some passages of Scripture having to do with events that happened during the week leading up to the crucifixion and then the resurrection of Christ. Now we are returning to our study of the Gospel of Luke, where we left off, and we are chronologically some months before the last Passover and the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus, at this time, is probably somewhere in the region of Judea. The last time Luke named a place where he was, it was at the house of Martha and Mary in the village of Bethany at the end of Luke chapter 10. He left there, but was probably still in the region, teaching his disciples. He gets invited to dine at a Pharisee's house in Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Then he leaves there, and chapter 12, verse 1 says, in the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling over one another, he began to say to his disciples first. So he is teaching his disciples in the midst of this huge crowd of thousands of people, and the crowd is listening to him too. He teaches them to fear God rather than man. He teaches them to acknowledge Christ before men. He teaches them to be rich toward God, and he teaches them to seek first the kingdom of God. He does all of that in chapter 12. He's still teaching this huge crowd. His disciples are up close, and then there's this huge crowd of all kinds of people gathered around them. Now, he changes the subject and begins to talk about his second coming. This passage of Scripture is about the second coming of Christ. Jesus is already talking about a second coming months before he is even crucified. Verse 40 says, "You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The term Son of Man is a title for the Messiah that comes from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel is in Babylon having visions, and in verse 13 he says, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming." Jesus' words in Luke 12:40 are taken right out of Daniel chapter 7. He is reiterating the promise of Daniel 7 that with clouds of heaven, one day a Son of Man is coming. This is what Daniel 7:13 and 14 says. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." This figure, this Son of Man, is coming with the clouds, and he is given by God the Father dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall never pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall never be destroyed. This is a great messianic prophecy in the book of Daniel that all the Jews were familiar with. They knew the Son of Man was a title for the Messiah, connected to him coming in glory to establish the kingdom his Father had given to him. Jesus referred to himself constantly as the Son of Man. Luke 9:26 is one place where he did it. He said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." You can look up all of the verses in the Gospels pertaining to the Son of Man, and there are many of them, and you will see that Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. And when he did that, he was identifying himself with that figure in Daniel chapter 7. The Son of Man is a title for the Messiah who would come with clouds and establish a glorious everlasting kingdom. And Jesus is that Son of Man. They obviously didn't grasp what he was talking about at that particular time, though they did later. But his teaching assumes that there will be a departure, an interval of uncertain length, and then Jesus will return in glory. The interval between the departure of Christ and the return of Christ has lasted almost 2,000 years now, and we are still in that interval. Now, the emphasis in this passage of Scripture we are looking at today in Luke is upon readiness for the second coming of Christ. This Scripture encourages us to be ready for Christ's return. So we want to focus upon His return and why we should be ready for it. Why should you get ready for the second coming of Christ? First of all, readiness is commanded. Verse 35 says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." And verse 40 says, "You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect." This is Jesus speaking, and readiness is put in the form of a command. The thing about commands that give them any validity is the source from which they come and what is at stake. There are some commands that we don't even pay any attention to. If a little child comes up to you with a water pistol and tells you that this is a hold up, hand over all your money, you don't even take that seriously. But if a robber with a real 357 Magnum commands you to put your hands up and give him all your money. You take that command seriously and you do it. If the government commands you to pay taxes, you do it. If a soldier is commanded by his superior to guard a place, he accepts that responsibility and does it until he is relieved of his duty. If your boss commands you to do a particular job, you do it. If you are commanded to do something that is blatantly against the will of God, unethical, then you don't do it. And you take the consequences, whatever they may be. Sometimes you may have to do that. It might cost you your job. It may cost you your life. But you may have to do that. What we have here in our passage is a command from our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He commands us to be ready for His coming. So we should take Him seriously and be ready because He commands us to be ready. Secondly, readiness will be rewarded. Verse 37 and 38 says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake when He comes. Truly I say to you, He will dress Himself for service and have them recline at table, and He will come and serve them. If He comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." Jesus will dress Himself for service and have them recline at table, and He will come and serve them. I can understand us serving Jesus, but this is Jesus serving His servants. There's a picture of this in John chapter 13 where Jesus in the upper room rose from supper, laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around His waist. The feet of a Christian get tired and weary from walking in this sin-cursed world. At His second coming, Jesus will cleanse the feet of His disciples from the dust of this world and give them rest. It is a picture of what it will be like to be delivered from the sin and corruption and evil and wickedness and antagonism and hostility of this world and coming into the friendly, welcoming presence of Jesus. The Christians who are ready for Christ's coming will receive such a reception. Then it says, He will have them recline at table. After Jesus had the Last Supper with His disciples, He told them that He would not partake of this meal with them again until the day He ate and drank with them in His Father's kingdom. At His second coming, Jesus will welcome His disciples into the kingdom and will hold a banquet for them, and they will hunger no more. This is heaven, and it is portrayed like a banquet. Why does Jesus portray heaven as a banquet? He does it because a banquet is a pleasant experience that people can tangibly identify with. Heaven is like a banquet with Jesus. Verse 43 and 44 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Father will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions." Jesus says then that he will put his faithful disciple in charge of all his possessions. There is a parable in Matthew about a master leaving his servants with responsibilities and then returning later to reward the faithful ones. Just as in that parable, the master upon his return rewards his faithful servant by setting him over all his possessions, so also Jesus himself at his glorious coming will reward his faithful servants. He will, in fact, assign them certain tasks to do in heaven, meaningful things to do that bring enjoyment and satisfaction. Thirdly, readiness avoids punishment. Verse 45 through 48 says, "But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and to get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready for or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. The people who are punished are those who are not ready at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. They have not embraced Christ as Savior. They have not acknowledged Christ before men. They have not sought first the kingdom of God. They have not feared God. They have not sought to be rich toward God. There's a principle of punishment here. Punishment varies with accountability. There are some things that we have no control over and are therefore not responsible for. What we are responsible for is our own actions and what we do with our own abilities. So punishment is poured out according to accountability and opportunity and ability. Finally, readiness is illustrated four ways. In verses 35 through 37, Jesus gives us four pictures of what readiness looks like in this passage. First of all, in verse 35, he says, "Stay dressed for action." The King James Version says, let your loins be girded." That is an expression that refers to the type of attire that was worn in first century Palestine. Men wore long, flowing gowns. When they were going to do some work, they had a belt like a girdle around their waist that they could use to tie up the part of the gown that hung down to the ground. That is what girding up the loins means. They would tie that hanging down part of that gown up around their waist, and it would make that gown more comfortable and less cumbersome to work in. That's where the expression in the King James Version comes from. Gird up your loins for action. Be dressed for work. Secondly, in verse 35, he says, "And keep your lamps burning." In New Testament times, they used oil lamps. And in order to keep your lamp burning, you had to have oil for it. It's just like these modern gas grills. You have to have a tank with gas in it to fire up the grill. Jesus is saying to do whatever it takes to keep your lamp burning. Thirdly, he says in verse 36, "And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feasts, so that they may open the door to him at once when he knocks, when he comes and knocks." Be like servants waiting for their master to come home. You don't know when exactly he is coming, but be waiting expectantly for him to come so that you can let him in when he knocks. Finally, in verse 37, he says, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes." In other words, don't fall asleep on the job. Be dressed for work. Keep your lamps burning. Be waiting expectantly and stay alert. Stay awake. Verse 43 says, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." What does "so doing" mean? It means doing what the master instructed him to do when he left. Verse 47 says, "And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating." It's all about doing the master's will. And where do you find the master's will? You find it in the Bible. You have to be reading the Bible. You have to be hearing the Word of God to know what the will of the Master is. And then you have to be doing it. You have to be busy about pursuing the Master's will. Doing the Master's will. Who is this for? In verse 41 of the passage, Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" Peter wanted to know, is this just for us disciples? Is this just for the 12? Or is this for everybody? Is this for the whole crowd? Jesus didn't answer his question, but it is obvious this is for all. This is a message for everybody. When you think about your life, just thinking to yourself, and you make assessment of how you're spending your time, how you're spending your money, what purpose are you living for? What is it that drives you? What do you really treasure in life? What really is the orientation of your life? What do your answers to those questions tell you about your readiness for the Lord's coming and your loyalty to Him? That's the issue that Jesus is raising in this passage. Everybody needs to get ready for the coming of Jesus. This message is for whoever will hear it and whoever will respond. Fear God, not man. Acknowledge Jesus before men. Be rich toward God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Be busy about learning what the will of God is and be in pursuit of it. Be doing it. Let's pray.